Hey everybody, do you want to get jazzed up for spring and summer? I know I sure do, and I know that one of the best ways to get jazzed up is to put on some amazing mascara. I frequently do less makeup in the summer, but I love to have my lashes. So if you're excited to make your lashes look phenomenal, head on over to minutewithmary.com and I'll hook you up.
The world we need won't be built by men loyal to the world we have.
The world we need is a world of mercy. It has to be.
And it will be. It's not easy to see something that's never been before. A good world.
How do you know? How do you know it'll be good?
Because I know what is good. And so do you.
I know.
You do. You do. You've always known.
What about everyone else? All the other people who think they know what's good.
They don't get to choose. Be with me. Build the new world with me. This is our reason. It has been from the beginning, since you were a little boy with a bastard's name. And I was a little girl who couldn't count to 20. We do it together. We break the wheel together.
You are my queen. Now. And always.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to The North Remembers. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Game of Thrones on HBO, so sit back and relax because winter's here. Hello, hello everyone, how's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and yes, I just cried in front of a Facebook Live audience.
You know, that's a first. That is a first.
Actually, no, it's not a first.
Oh, you're right.
I did cry in The Leftovers.
I agree. Yes, you did.
I did cry in The Leftovers. But, I didn't have that reaction the first time we watched the episode.
Agreed.
I had that reaction.
Prepping for this show,
and all of a sudden it happened again, and here we are. Here we are. This is the end. This is the end. You know, the Doors. No, okay. Never mind.
So, but it truly is. This is the end. This was the series finale of Game of Thrones. So this episode, Blake and I are going to be talking about our perspective. Of course, make sure as you're listening, if you have something to say, if you completely disagree with Blake and I, or if you have some extra banter that you want to add in, we are going to be having at least one listener feedback episode for this. And I do also want to let you know that we are going to be doing an additional two episodes after the documentary comes out. I don't know if it came out for regular people who watch HBO for reals, but we have HBO Now or Go or one of those things, and it's not on that device yet. So once it is, we are going to do another episode, full episode, and a listener feedback for that as well. So if you are listening to this and you're shouting at your mobile device saying, "What is wrong with you two? I completely disagree." We want to make sure that you get your feedback in there. And of course, you can subscribe to this podcast because we told you we're going to have more episodes coming on out. So if you're watching this just on Facebook Live, you can head on over and give Mary and Blake on Facebook a nice little thumbs up and follow us there. But if you find your podcast app of choice, you can search for The North Remembers and you make sure to subscribe. That way it gets sent directly to your phone. And if you are brave enough to send in your own feedback, you might hear your own voice on a podcast.
That's right. Just hit that little button that says voicemail at maryandblake.com. And hey, you never know. You might just be one of the special ones. And it also, as a reminder, too, seeing that this is going to be one of our last episodes of The North Remembers, do make sure you go to maryandblake.com and check out all the podcasts that we have over there, including Outlander Cast, which is dedicated to Outlander. This Is Us 2, which is dedicated to This Is Us. And for all of you Hamilton nerds out there,
so excited.
We will be doing a Hamilton podcast.
So excited.
It will be like a mini series like this. And it will be for our patrons over at Outlander Cast. So even if you're not big on Outlander, that's okay. If you still want to listen to the Hamilton podcast, we're calling it Rise Up. If you want to listen to Rise rise up, you can just become a patron over at OutlanderCast or OutlanderCastClan.com.
Correct.
And just join at the $5 level, which is Klansmen, and you'll be able to check it out. So that is that. Marvin, are you ready to get into this podcast?
I am so ready. Oh, I am so ready.
I'm not sure if I am, but here we go.
Okay, break down the episode details for us, Blake.
Right. Well, you know, before we do that.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Let's break it down. let's do that. The title was The Iron Throne, and the director was the Double D's, Dan Weiss, Dave Benioff. They are the showrunners, and they decided that they wanted to direct this final episode for the fact that they wanted complete control over the story. They didn't want to give it to anybody else.
Sounds like Daenerys.
You know, they know that they have...
Hey, they all begin with the letter D.
They know that they have, you know, really great directors out there, but they wanted complete control over what was being shown, what was edited, what was written, all of it. And obviously, they did it. So they also wrote this episode, too. And as a matter of fact, this is actually their first credited directorial effort in the television or movie sphere. They've mainly only written and been producers. However, they do have two uncredited episodes that they did direct of Game of Thrones prior to this. The two episodes, if you wanted to go back and watch, are Two Swords and Walk of Punishment. That is that. And
nice.
Marvin, you know, I was going to say, let's start with, I think, a comment that should be said about this episode, which is, I think we're going to be pretty positive about this episode.
Yeah, we're going to give that disclaimer. If you're a hater who likes to hate, first off, you might want to listen to some Taylor Swift. Second of all, Blake and I really watched the episode. We'll give you a little story about how we had to watch that episode because it almost didn't happen. We almost went to the children's emergency room last night. But we left it, and we generally don't like to talk about the show before we get to sit down and podcast, but as we laid down in bed, I'm generally the one that brings it up, and I was like, so how did you feel about it? And he's like, I liked it, and I was like, I liked it too. Cool. All right. So we are going to generally be positive. I know that there has been crazy mixed reactions. It's pretty much like the election that just happened a couple of years ago here in the U.S. Like, there is a great divide and passionate people on both sides.
Yes.
So if you were on the side that this was the worst pile of garbage that you've ever seen, maybe you can listen. And if you still disagree with us, we would love to hear your feedback. Once again, we are going to be having a listener feedback episode, at least one for this episode. And because it is such a divisive episode, we might be having a couple of them. So make sure not only to submit your feedback on Facebook or Twitter or email, but also that SpeakPipe feature on our website, because we do want to hear your feedback. But yeah, that's our disclaimer. I'm usually an optimist.
And I am not.
Yeah. So, but this is going to be a generally optimistic episode. I have had some feedback from listeners saying, because we've been optimistic this entire season, for the most part. I mean, we call out things that we don't think are right, but for the most part, we've been more optimistic than not. Some people have written in saying, thank you. Like, thanks for helping me see the glass half
full. You know, the thing is, like, no one listens to these podcasts because they hate the show.
Correct.
I don't think anybody wants their favorite show to be trashed. Although, I do feel like we have an obligation to be truthful about our feelings about the show, and we have to analyze the show for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never going to fake being nice. I never will. I never have.
That is not in Blake's body.
But I will tell you, I see some, you know, issues with this episode, but generally, I liked it. So that is why I'm going to be positive. And I think Mary's just a nice, positive person to begin with. So yay for Mary. So having said that, my darling, what do you got for your dragon rating?
My dragon rating, oddly enough, it's not a 5. What is going on? This is a series finale, and I'm not giving it a 5. No, I'm giving it a 4.9.
Okay.
I'm giving it a 4.9. I'll go into why in a little bit. Practically perfect, like Mary Poppins. Okay? No? When's the last time you saw OG Mary Poppins?
Oh, God. I couldn't even tell you.
Mm. Do you know that that's one of the songs?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Yeah. 4.9. Solid.
I'm an Emily Blunt Mary Poppins guy.
Oh, my God. She did a great job.
She's great.
She did a great job. How about you? What's your dragon rating?
I'm giving this one a 4.7.
Which is pretty much a 4.9.
On my scale, yes.
Yes.
I think there's so much to love, and yet at the same time, there's so much to question in this episode. And I think it tells a thematically coherent episode or story, and whether or not it's the results that we all wanted or it's the most exciting result, I think is an entirely different question and different answer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a thematically consistent, good episode that is competent.
Okay.
And it's bittersweet. And having said that,
that's like the word that the DDs and everybody uses for the finale is bittersweet.
And I think it is bittersweet. And I like the fact that, you know, it's this massive show. It's a massive, incredible, unbelievably huge show. Yet the finale was very small in scope. You know, it was very small in what it was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked that. It could have went huge and out of control, but it didn't. So I like the fact that it told the small story. So what do you got for your GBG?
Okay, drum roll. Okay, my good, my bad, and my great for this episode. My good was a shout out to the pets, Drogon and Ghost.
Okay, what about it?
They both stole the show in those scenes. Like, Drogon was like, I'm going to eat you, Jon Snow. What'd you do to my mom? Mom, wake up. Mom, wake up. And it brought me back to all the feels when, like, a little kid's like, Mom, Mom. And the mom's dead, but this was a dragon. And I felt tender for this dragon. And then you thought the dragon was going to eat Jon Snow. And instead, it melted the throne. It had all this emotion. And you're like, this is a flipping CGI dragon. And I'm feeling all the feels for it. And then it picks up its little mama and flies off in the distance. And that beautiful shot when it lands with its wings. And when everybody's like standing and Daenerys is there. And you've got the Unsullied and the Dothraki, and like you see the size of this dragon. Mm-hmm. Insane. And then of course we get Ghost. So good job, Double D's, for faking us out with like, oh sorry, we didn't have enough budget to do a proper goodbye for Ghost. Because they obviously couldn't say like, oh, just wait and see, because obviously that would mean we're going to be seeing things like up north again.
Mm-hmm.
But just to be able to get that wonderful rekindling with Ghost and John, it just gave me all the feels, and I just want to snuggle my cat even more because I love pets. So my bad. Bronn.
Oh.
Bronn, why? Why are you still here? Where is this giant like arrow thing that actually kind of was supposed to be important, but then we didn't see you until now? You somehow were given Highgarden, you completely sleazy, weird man. Why did Bran like totally be cool with that? Giving this sleazy man Highgarden.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need their food. You need someone who understands plants, not Bronn. Okay, Bronn knows nothing, Jon Snow, about growing things, about how to like work the economy. All he cares about is rebuilding the brothels. So I just felt like, ew, I don't need Bronn to be in the small council. I really don't. Like, I get that a lot of people enjoyed Bronn's character in the show. I get that he had a really interesting dynamic with Tyrion. If I was Tyrion, I would still not be trusting this dude since he just tried to like kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be given Highgarden for no reasoning, except that he was owed a debt and the Lannisters always pay their debts, I guess that counts. But then for him to have a seat on the High Council, now granted, it's Highgarden. So Highgarden does have the money. Highgarden does have the resources. But then why not make him master of food? Or something. Why master of coin? Because he's just terrible with money.
He's a sellsword.
Yeah, like what's going on here? And then for him to throw in those jokes about the brothel, I really felt like, you know, the ending part really did remind me in so many ways of the ending of Lord of the Rings, where it's like, here's everyone living happily ever after, and then not so happily ever after, and then like, woe is you, but at least we know it's happening to you. And it's like they threw in this Bronn brothel joke that I just didn't need. I don't want Bronn at the small table. I don't want him making brothel jokes. Like, Brienne of Tarth is literally sitting there rolling her eyes in the back of her head saying, are you effing serious? You weren't there when we killed the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't here when we sacked the city and had to deal with all that stuff. Why are you here? Everybody else paid their dues. You just showed up. So that's my bad. And my great is just that I really feel like this was a brilliant ending to a series. It is a finale that has made people talk. And it's made people theorize that not only was this the series finale, but people are now making theories about where Drogon went with Daenerys. Is he going to bring her back to life with a priestess? And what's Bran going to do? And what's Arya going to find? Is Arya going to find an alive Daenerys? Like, people are already fanficking and they don't even know it. People who've never like written or decided to like make up fan fiction canon in their minds are doing it at lunch tables with their friends in corporate business offices. And this once again was a show that I was demeaned about as being way too nerdy to talk about on network television, that only nerds talked about this. And what I love about this episode is that people are so divided. People have such strong feelings about it that it is being talked about in every single inch of our society. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that it has made people think, it's made people dream, it's made people discuss it. And for that, I say, well done.
Even my dad was like, hey, you watched this Game of Thrones thing last? Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, Dad. And he's like, oh, well, did you like it? I'm like, Dad, I have a podcast about it.
My dad, too, he was like, he texted me and he called me. He's like, so how did you feel about Game of Thrones? And I was like, Dad, when have you started to watch this? And he's like, I haven't, but everyone's talking about it and I needed to know your opinion. I'm like, Dad, I... Once again, we podcast about it, Dad. Of course we watched it.
Go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe. Dad, you'll figure out how I feel then.
Dad, go to MaryandBlake.com. You can listen to the episode. You could join. You could actually be here live, Dad.
Hey, and buy some Minute with Mary while you're at it.
But that's what I'm talking about, is that it even got our dads, who don't even watch this show, to talk about it, to show that interest. And maybe there's going to be the second round of people who, lucky ducks, will get to binge. Because people have been so inspired to talk about it, they will binge. And if anything else, my other great is that there are going to be so many people lining up at Barnes and Noble's or going on to Amazon and pre-ordering these books when George gets his booty to the computer and types this darn thing. And it's like what Harry Potter did. Harry Potter revolutionized people wanting to read. We now have a reason to read, because obviously this was not all George R.R. Martin had planned. He has so much more planned. And I feel like since they've left the books, things have been a little sticky. Like, people liked a lot more before they left the books and they've moved on since then. I feel like that's when people have felt a little conflicted. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like there are going to be a heck of a lot more people picking up books, actually putting paper through their fingers and going on from there.
You know,
that's my GBG.
You're fired up today.
I am.
You are fired up. All right, for me, my good. Even after Dany had burned down the city, and she's talking to Jon, mm-hmm. and after even Jon killed her, spoiler alert, I still felt bad for her.
Yes,
I felt terrible. I felt empty. It made me feel unfinished. Like it. And I find that remarkable.
I feel like this is the first time I felt bad for Dany in this season.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, even after Missandei died, yep. I didn't feel bad for Dany as much as I thought I would have had it been previous seasons.
Yes.
Whereas at that moment, talking with John, I was like, oh, we're kind of seeing things from Dany's perspective again.
Yes.
Oh.
Which is nice.
It is nice. It's refreshing.
She honestly believed what she was saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that makes it okay. I'm not saying that burning down the city and killing thousands of people is okay or that she didn't deserve it. Mm-hmm. I just, you see how she kind of reverted back to that little girl who couldn't count to 20. And she truly believed in the idealism that she had in creating a better world. And because of that, when Jon did what he did, I remember watching it the second time and even hearing it now, and she said, it's hard to see something that's never been before.
Yes.
And when she said that and seeing Emilia Clarke's face as she delivered that line.
Such a good job.
I started to tear up. I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God. And because I knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I felt bad for Dany in this instant. And to take someone who just committed war crimes on a pretty spectacular scale, mm-hmm. As mentioned by Tyrion, for me to feel bad for her, I think is a remarkable turn of events in the storytelling.
Way to go, Emilia Clarke. Way to go.
Yes, and even the writing for it, as she's talking about it, it's honest writing, in my opinion, which I liked. The bad for me was, you know, the funny thing is that the ending in the episode, and particularly the back half, it felt just neat. It felt clean.
This is your bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It felt like it was checking boxes. Okay, we gotta see what's going on here. We gotta check. Okay, we gotta go see what's on with Bran. Okay, check. Okay, Tyrion, check. Small Council, check. Arya, check. It just felt like a bow. It felt clean. I wanted it to be more jagged. I wanted it to be more dirty. I wanted it to be. I don't want to say more action filled because action filled wouldn't be fair.
We've had a lot of action this season.
But I think I wanted to stick with John and Danny more because as much as I didn't buy their chemistry or as much as I think the world couldn't get enough involved in their love, I wanted more of that gray area between John and Danny.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was looking for. Mm-hmm. So that's my bad. I think it's just too neat.
Okay.
But my great, and the great is a tie. First is closing the loop on Jamie, closing his story out, arc out. We all
got, obviously you're Team Lannister.
I am Team Lannister, and Jamie is my favorite character, and always will be. Having his arc closed out, especially this episode in comparison to last episode when he's just with Cersei. It made you feel like they'd done him a little dirty, but having Brienne, the person who loved him and cared about him and saw him in the light that he probably should have been seen, write all of his good deeds in the Book of the Brotherhood and the Kingsguard, it was that to me was a special scene and the fitting end. More gray area is that he died protecting his queen. So much is said there and so much is unsaid there from Brienne. And it's a unbelievable way to characterize what Jamie did at the end. So I really like that. But, cool.
the
main great.
Oh, okay.
Oh boy.
The extra super great. Was?
Oh, this is like double secret probation great.
What?
Oh my goodness gracious. This is great. The imagery of Daenerys walking out of the Red Keep. With Drogon behind her, and as he's raising his wings, look like hers. It's you're a dragon, be a dragon. She was a dragon.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God. I stood up. I was like, holy smokes, that is incredible. That was
amazing.
That was something I didn't know I needed in my life until then, and then I needed more of it in my life.
Agreed.
And for me, I can't decide which is better now. I can't decide between the imagery of Dany with the dragon behind her or Jon standing up to the full Bolton army as they're charging in on him with the horses. Those two images are striking, to say the least.
Agreed.
I couldn't, oh man, that was great. So that is my great. Marvin.
Yeah.
What do you got, man?
What do you mean?
I mean, this is the series finale, and we're here, and I feel like I don't even know where to begin. Like, where do you want to start with this? What is the thing that stands out to you most? All right, fine. I'll start.
I mean, it's tough because there's so much that I loved in this episode. There's so much that I'm thankful for, I understand. And there are those few things that I don't understand at all.
Okay, well, what don't you understand?
I want to get out those little nitty-gritty things that's like the pebble in my shoe that left me being a 4.9.
Okay, what do you got?
So it's the Bronn. Bronn was one of them.
Sure.
Like, why are you here? What are you doing?
I think that's fan service.
Agreed, and I don't need that in my life right now.
You probably don't. I like the idea of him kind of evolving into Littlefinger a little bit. With the brothels and the Master of Coin, he's not necessarily
Littlefinger.
He's not necessarily book smart, but he's street smart.
Yeah.
You know, he gets it. And he's a sellsword too, which I kinda like. But I agree with you, it's a little fan servicey.
Okay.
It was a way because that whole thing with Bronn was kind of brought out with the I'm gonna go kill you and I'm hired by Cersei and now all of a sudden he's here.
Yep.
That felt like a dangling Chad a little bit.
As then my next thing is Samwell Tarly allowed to be a father and a husband? Because where the hell's Gilly and baby Sam and next baby John? because he's now a maester.
Oh, yes. Okay, I see what you're saying.
Like, is that allowed? Where's Gilly? You're a dad, man. You're a straight up dad.
I mean, yeah, he's a maester, but I feel like whatever. Like,
were they allowed
he's on
to
his
have
own
a family?
Thing. They just had a serious rebellion. I feel like they're going to be able to do whatever the hell they want.
Well, I would have much liked to see a little something, a little nudge. If we got Bronn in there, I would have wanted to make sure Gilly and Sam and Baby John were okay. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm asking for. Let's see. I also don't understand how Jon Snow was alive. Like, or wasn't just set free. So Jon Snow kills Daenerys. Okay.
Yes.
The only thing he needed to do was kick some ash on her bloodstain. And then he could have been like, Danny just went out for a ride. And then he could have snuck out. Okay. And then he could be like, guys, hurry up. Let's go to Winterfell. Okay. That's all he needed to do. I don't know how he got caught. Then obviously he could have just been like, Daenerys went for a flight and he could have covered that up with some ash. Then this is Grey Worm we're talking about. I don't know why he just didn't kill him. Or if we're going to keep going like, okay, a lot of people disagreed and, you know, he did the right thing. Why was he not allowed to be free like Jaime Lannister was? Jaime Lannister was the Kingslayer. Mm-hmm. He saved the world from a tyrant. Jon Snow is now the Queenslayer, saved the world from a tyrant. And yet Jaime Lannister was allowed to be a knight on the Kingsguard and was like, you know, yes, was kind of a Debbie Downer, but he was allowed to have his normal life.
The difference, I think, is Jaime did it for the good of the realm, in support of the incoming rebellion, right?
Okay.
Whereas John was in support of the incoming rebellion and killed the queen of the incoming rebellion. And the people that are in charge were under the charge of Daenerys.
So everybody there, like everyone in King's Landing, was still Team Daenerys. So you just killed their queen. It would have been like killing Robert Baratheon. Yes. Right after the rebellion.
Yeah, it'd be like if Ned Stark killed Robert Baratheon.
So why didn't they just kill Jon Snow? Why, like, keep him as a prisoner? This is Grey Worm we're talking about.
Yeah.
Then the Dothraki, like, why keep him?
Well, let's first answer the question that you first brought up is, why didn't Jon just take off and cover up with the ash? Because he's Jon Snow, and he's a dopey kind of, I'm going to tell the truth, and you know he went up to whoever and admitted it. You know
he was
that
like,
he did.
Take me. I'm in trouble.
Yes, I did this.
I would have totally just kicked some ash, ran away. Hey, where's Daenerys? I don't know. She just went for a flight.
Maybe she went to Dunkin'. I don't know.
Yeah. She's nice coffee after all this.
You know, maybe her blood sugar was low. I don't know. Maybe, you know, you never know. Mm-hmm. So I feel like he admitted it. And
he did.
You know he did, because he's Ned Stark's son. And Ned Stark.
Not really.
Well, you know what I mean. Touche. He would have done it.
Yeah.
Also, why didn't they just
Snow
kill
him? Jon Snow is not the brightest bulb in the bulge. Okay, Bunch. He's an honest, nice, kind man. Not the smartest. Let's be real.
No, but he's full of honor. And
like,
he,
I wish Tyrion had
duty.
Said, killer, and then escape, instead of just saying killer.
Well, he didn't say killer.
Pretty much.
But he alluded to it.
You know what I mean?
It.
Like, yeah. He alluded, basically saying killer.
Sure.
He should have also said, and because you're not the brightest, Jon Snow, I'm also going to tell you this. If you can escape, that'd be great.
I would say they didn't kill him because I think they all inherently knew that he did the right thing.
Okay.
Especially with Tyrion probably not singing his praises, but talking about it on some level. And
they
I think
would have known that
Davos
would have
was there.
War. They would have had another war.
Yeah, they all know. And she said it in her speech to the Dothraki and the Unsullied, like, we're going to go from, you know, Winterfell to Dorne and, you know, all these places. We're going to go through the whole country and liberate everybody.
That's what did her in.
That
was the speech that did her in.
Well, I think that's the speech that convinced everybody that she was going down the wrong path. I think had she not done that speech the way that she did, whether it was a calculated thing or just an emotional outburst, either way, I think that's what set everybody, I mean, aside from murdering thousands of people just before this, but that's what really kind of set it in motion. Mm-hmm. I think the real thing that set it in motion for Jon after having the conversation with Tyrion, though,
oh, it was the Sansa bit?
Is the Sansa bit. Yes. That is a thing where he says, what about your sisters? You have a choice. They don't.
Correct.
They're not going to bend the wheel.
Bend the knee.
Bend the knee. Bend the wheel. they're not going to bend the knee.
Yeah.
And you know it.
Yep.
And when John is talking to Danny and saying, what about everybody else? How are they going to know? And she's saying, they don't have a choice. That you see his eyes widen, and that's when I think he realizes, yeah, this is the time.
Okay. Want to know my last pebble?
Okay, what do you got?
I had three pebbles. One was called Bron, one was called John, and the other one's called Bran. Brandon Stark.
Yeah, man.
Listen, everybody thinks that Cersei's bad, everybody thinks the Night King's bad, everybody thinks Dany's bad. Well, I don't know who's really bad. Bran. Okay? Man knows the past, the present, and the future, and he just let all this happen. Just let all this happen. And then when Tyrion's like, Bran, I know you don't want to be the king, and he's like, why do you think I'm here, man?
Yeah, that's the problem. We said it at the very
not
first...
Not cool, Bran.
Not great, Bran.
Not great. Not great. And I know we're supposed to feel good, like, yes, it's like a weird robot kind of won't choose poor choices kind of person. Yay! Everyone's like, I. And I feel like the general audience felt like Sansa when she's looking around being like, all these people are literally saying I because he's a dude. He's a dude with the last name Stark. And Tyrion just made this really nice story. But are all of you forgetting he's crazy and he can tell the future and he let all this happen?
Well, I mean, I think they've alluded to the fact that he can tell the future. They've alluded to it. They haven't said explicitly, yes, Bran knows the future. However, we do have physical evidence that he does at least have glimpses of the future, because we had the vision of Drogon flying above King's Landing. With his shadow. So we know that Bran has some kind of...
He also knew that he was going to be asked to be king.
And that's the thing that I have. And as I was saying before, at the very first episode of The North Remembers, we said, the show has a Bran problem.
Yep.
The show has a Bran problem because he has all of these abilities. And what is he capable of doing? What is he actually going to do? And here's the issue. And this is why I kind of feel icky about them choosing Bran as the king in terms of the story. Not necessarily the characters, but the story on a macro level, right? He didn't do anything. He didn't do a goddamn thing to earn any of it.
I mean, Hodor died for this kid. Can we just bring that back to reality? Hodor died for him, and he allowed all of King's Landing to die. Well done, Bran. Well done. Right. I mean, however, it's incredible because we think about how the first episode of this series began with Bran, an innocent young boy being pushed out of a window. And then as Tyrion says, like, this is why this is the right choice. Mm-hmm. It is a guy who can't father children. It is someone who has this amazing story, who can learn from lessons from the past. And that's one of Tyrion's big things is, you know, we read their history so that we don't make the same mistakes again. So maybe Brandon Stark truly, truly is the right choice. I don't know what's going to happen after him. And I'm also kind of like miffed that he knew he was going to be asked to be king. Didn't let anybody know that. And he's a little shady. You know, he was like, oh, Sam, you should tell my brother that the truth about him. Yeah, like, he's a little shady.
You feel like he's a puppet master a little bit. And the fact that he said the very words, why do you think I'm all the way down here for? He didn't want to be, you know, the Lord of Winterfell.
No.
Because he didn't care.
Because he wanted to be.
But now all of a sudden he's the king.
Yeah.
It's like it's implicit in that statement is that he knew.
Agreed.
And if he knew, then does he know that's what's best for the realm?
Then WTF, Bran.
Or is he self-serving? And yes, he does say, well, I don't want to be the king. You know, I don't want any of it.
I see it as it's the best thing for the realm. This is like the third-eyed raven, crazy, creepy thing, like not selfish. I know that that's how we're supposed to see it, but I can't help but be upset with Bran over everyone that's died, whether for him or because he didn't just open his mouth. I mean, even think about the Night King. Like, he probably knew that he wasn't going to die.
Right, and that's why I think he says thank you to Theon. He's like, you're a good man. You did what you could. I know you did. Thank you. Don't worry about it. We're going to be all right. That's what it feels like now. Had Bran done something other than just warg into crows during the Battle of Winterfell, or something at all to affect the plot in any way, outside of what we've just been talking about, like the puppet master feel of it all, had he done anything to contribute to taking the throne or whatever, I feel like I would have been more okay with him being the king. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Do a little something, buddy. But I will say that this was like my main component that I needed for the finale, was that I needed Brandon Stark to somehow be involved. And he's a huge part of it. A huge part of it. So for that, I am thankful. I am thankful. Yes. I'm a little weirded out by it. I don't necessarily know how we're supposed to feel about it. Once again, you can keep having that canon. You can keep having these wonderful thoughts. And I can't wait for George R. R. Martin to flesh this out for us a little bit more.
Right.
But I'm happy, because that was what I needed in the finale. I've said it many times. I need to see Brandon Stark do something. I need him to be of use. This is the boy who was pushed out of a tower, episode one, who started this tragic trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
I needed something.
He's just too much of a passive character in terms of the macro storytelling part of it. Too much of a passive character to be all of a sudden active like this. I mean, he even backed into the king, like the job of being king, passively. All of a sudden, it just, hey, what about after this great speech by Tyrion, what about Bran?
Because I kind of would have liked Sansa to be queen and him to be her hand. Not gonna lie.
And that would be great. But you know what? I mean, I like the ending with Sansa. I think it's fine. The thing I will say is, listen, I'm willing to have the conversation about Bran being king being really out of left field and maybe not earned. I will say, though, in defense of it, I like it because it's the opposite. Having him be king is the opposite of Daenerys. Mm-hmm. This is somebody, Daenerys was not learning from the past, not taking the lessons that was part of her history, part of her DNA, and partially that's because she just can't help it. But Bran is opposite in that he knows all of the past, and it can be learned from and then set forth into the future for the rest of the realm. You know, the major difference for the story overall is that kings are no longer born, they're chosen, and that's because of Tyrion and Bran Stark. That's a major difference for the realm.
And Sam, let's give credit to the first person who brought up that idea.
Right.
Who they all laughed at, and then they were like, oh, don't you hate that? When you come up with a really good idea, and everyone's like, that's stupid, and then a popular person says the same exact flipping thing, and they're like, yes, the people will choose. The people will choose.
It just shows you that what happens in the past doesn't necessarily have to be the future.
Agreed.
For everybody. And this is what I kept thinking about actually this entire season, especially as it came to what happened with King's Landing and as Jon and Grey Worm and everybody are walking into the city. I kept thinking, this, in terms of the show, the canon of the show, this is massive. This is stuff of legend we're seeing within the context of the story. Mm-hmm. This is the things that we heard about, like Robert killing Rhaegar at the Battle of the Trident, right? This is Jaime killing King Aerys. These are these mythic things within the story framework of Game of Thrones, and here we are witnessing it. And it's funny because, and maybe because I'm 36 and I'm becoming my own person and my own adult, but it's like they're taking the mantle from their parents, from the generation before them, and they're creating their own lives and they're creating their own histories, and they're making the same mistakes. They're having better triumphs. You see the people, the characters growing, and just because their parents did something doesn't necessarily mean they have to do that too, right? And that was the beautiful part of what Danny was saying. We can do whatever we want. We can make this world the way that we want it to be.
Daenerys.
I think that's why I felt bad for her.
Agreed.
I think that's why I felt bad for her. But I like the idea that these people are making their own destiny. They don't have to do it, which, by the way, is why, I know we're jumping around here, but it's why I love how the episode ended with Jon. I think there's an argument to be made that that Jon should have died. Like, it would have been elegant for him to die to create the freedom of the North. It would have been elegant to die, for him to die because he killed Dany. Like, maybe Drogon should have, you know, made him, you know, burn bacon.
A little shish kebab.
You know, whatever. I don't know.
A little shish kajan.
Shish kajan. But I like it because John, as he's walking north with the wildlings, he's neither a Stark nor is he a Targaryen.
Nope.
He's just going
just
to
John.
Make himself.
John and Ghost.
And he's going to create his own future. What did you think about John and him going north and how they tied all the Starks in at the end?
Well, I loved the John going north. This, of course, to me was the equivalent of Frodo going off in the elven ship at the end, that he couldn't go on and live a normal life. He couldn't sit on the throne. He couldn't necessarily even be the Lord of Winterfell. Let's be real. That spot is his first answer. That truly, truly, John, this incredibly monotone, rather boring character, let's be real, like an honorable man, but kind of boring. Like, he's not the life of the party. Mm-hmm. You never really see him smile, except when he's having sex or when he was up north.
Right.
Okay? I, like, vividly remember him just having a blast, not only with Ygritte, but honestly with all the wildlings. Like, those are his bros. He was joyful. He felt free. So, one thing that I'm questioning, they send him, of course, to go be a member of the Night's Watch, mm-hmm. which... what does that even mean anymore? So they're there, and then it goes off with the wildlings to bring them back home because, of course, now they're safe. Obviously, the Night King and everybody is gone.
Right.
Has everyone just been hanging out at Winterfell or, you know?
Yeah, I feel like they've probably been hanging out at Winterfell to find out what happened.
Just like waiting, yeah. So, of course, they're going up north, and we see that little bud, that spring is coming.
Oh, great.
John is smiling. And what I didn't know is he leading the wildlings north as a member of the Night's Watch? Like, is he going to go back? Or is he saying, screw the Night's Watch, my watch has ended.
Yes.
Nobody's going to come after me in the north. I am going to make my new home up north. And if I want, I can take a wife. I can have babies. I can do whatever I want because I'm above the wall.
I like the idea that, you know, there is still a Night's Watch for bastards and broken things, the way that Tyrion says it. I like that idea because it's part of that culture. That's mm-hmm. part of their nature. I think it's good to have that. But I also think that Tyrion uses this as an excuse for Jon. I don't think he really intended for Jon to take the black again. I really don't think he intended to have Jon.
I agree.
To be a part of whatever's happening at the wall.
But then Sansa says all that, saying, I'm really sorry. This is the only way I could do it. And that's when I was confused again, because I thought, like, oh, I thought this was all like a secret little
Sansa.
Thing.
Yeah, but that's Sansa. I think Tyrion is the one who suggested it. And I don't think that he planned on Jon staying there. And even if he did plan on that, you know, Jon was the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch. Who is going to tell him he has to stay there? What are they going to do?
If he wants to take off. I'm really pumped about this ending.
Yeah, me too. I really like it. I thought it was a poetic ending. I thought it was a poetic ending, a symmetrical ending mm-hmm. with how the show began, right? The show begins with its prologue with people walking out from the Night's Watch into the woods. And now it ends, of course, with different reasonings, right?
Yeah.
With different reasonings, but it ends with Jon Snow.
I mean, he never felt like he belonged. And as I said, those are the times when I saw him smile. He actually felt like he belonged with this group. They don't care about your last name, anything like that. And he was happy. And he gets to be with Ghost.
And he's not, like, again, he's neither Targaryen nor is he Stark, really. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fit. He did what he could, and it's amazing to have this arc go from someone who doesn't fit mm-hmm. to becoming somebody of real importance to accepting that he doesn't fit and using that as his strength.
Because he also doesn't fit as someone who's now come back from the dead. Had he stayed down south, as I've said before, very few, if any, Southerners are going to believe what happened up north with mm-hmm. the battle with the Night King. Like, honestly, it's just going to be this folklore, just like the people of the north have always talked about. So he needs to be among people who've been through this, who can understand what he's gone through, understand his scars, and who he can have some fun with.
Here's a question, and this is a logic question.
Okay.
Why couldn't he just say, oh yeah, I'm going to the Night's Watch, and get on a boat, see Grey Worm, have all the Unsullied take off to Noth, which, by the way, was a great touch. I love
Agreed.
That the Unsullied are going to Noth to protect it in the memory of Missandei mm-hmm. At the orders of Grey Worm. But why couldn't he just say, yeah, I'm going. Grey Worm takes off, and he's like, he turns around and says, nope, I'm not going, and just comes right back. There's nobody there. There's no one there to keep anybody accountable except themselves.
Except John is an honorable guy. That's the problem.
And the other thing, too, is that, again, he knows he doesn't fit.
Yeah.
He knows he doesn't have a place.
And honestly, I see John's time with the Wildlings, like his 4 years at college, like where he made some really fun mistakes, had some big nights of drinking, had a great amount of belly laughs, and now he has the ability to either stay in the burning rubble of the real world where there's bills and like things to do and stupid stuff, or you have the option of going back up north where there's no bills, there's no kings, no queens, you can just have sex. Like, remember how Ygritte was like, we do whatever we want. We eat, we drink, we have sex, we play in caves, we like laugh a lot. Of course, if you had the choice, if you didn't have families and kids and all that kind of stuff, if you had the choice to stay in the modern world with all the responsibilities and the pains of dealing with raising a civilization, or going back to college when you didn't even really understand what room and board meant, I know what I would choose.
I just, you know, I really liked his ending just because it proves that he can be the man he wants to be. He chooses his own life. And I think that's important for John.
Agreed.
So we talked about John. We talked about Bran and their endings. You know, even Bran being like, yeah, I'm going to go find Drogon. Like, I don't know. It just...
I've got to go now.
I've got to go now. He does it again, you know, but whatever. Arya, do you feel like Arya, her ending is the right one for her?
So this is a really touchy one. A lot of people don't like this. Arya said, when was it? Back with like the theater troupe. Because we recently rewatched that episode where she was meant
to
go kill the woman who was the actress who was pretending to be Cersei in the play. And Arya's like painfully stabbed by that woman, the faceless woman lady.
Yep, right. The waif.
Yeah, the waif. And I get so messed up with like waifs and whites and all these walkers and
that's
too
why
many
you got
W's.
Me.
Too many W's.
I'm a nerd. I got you.
Speaking of which, I never see that letter right. I always say W.
What? W. Yeah, W.
W.
No, get out of here. W.
Like if you're doing a WWW?
It's W, not W.
No?
W is for like people who overpronounce
words. W. A lot of W words. Anyway, when she's speaking to that woman and she tells her like, what would you want to do? I would want to go west of, what's west of Westeros? That's what I would want to do. This is Arya Stark, who never wanted to be a lady. She, once again, doesn't want to deal with the bills, doesn't want to deal with leading people, doesn't want to have to worry about food rationing or getting married or any of those kind of things. So Arya is most like Jon. That's why they have that amazing connection. They are both incredibly like free spirits, rarely understood by other people. Like they, if you see them as a very unique mirror of each other, as they always have been.
Sure.
They've always had the connection. Neither of them fit in this Westeros world. They never have.
Right.
Both of them have to leave Westeros. And Arya has already said this is her dream. This is what she wants to do. And I think it's great.
I think so, too. I think it fits her character. She's the kind of character that gets herself involved in things. Like we said this last episode, she gets involved feet first in a lot of things. And all of a sudden, she pivots and she moves away and she takes off. And this is exactly what Arya needs, in my opinion.
If she went back to Gendry and was like, never mind, I would love to be the Lady of Storm's End, get me a dress and let's get going, baby. That would be completely unlike Arya's character. I feel like this decision, I feel like honestly, all the endings for the Starks are completely in line with what we have been told about them.
Mm-hmm.
All along.
Right.
So that's why I'm not angry with these endings, because I feel like, yes, that's what Arya has been saying from day one. I am not a lady. I want to go on these adventures. I'm not afraid of going somewhere new by myself and just, you know, YOLO.
Right. And I think the funny thing is the person that has the most satisfying ending, except for, in my opinion, Daenerys, which we're going to get into in a minute. The most satisfying ending for me is Sansa.
Yes, agreed.
Sansa getting her ending the way that she did, I think fits right in line with who she is, what she's created, and the thing that she's looked out for most since she's been enlightened. She came from being this little girl who was in love with King's Landing
and Joffrey
and the pageantry of it all and just knitting and doing the whole thing. To becoming
embroidering, Blake.
Yeah, whatever. It's all the same. It's all the same to me. illusions, Michael, not tricks. you know, it, she goes from that to being a real power player mm-hmm. in the Game mm-hmm. of Thrones, or someone who is really wise, someone who understands her people and knows the buttons to push to get what she needs. And having her become the Queen of the North and seeing all those men, Queen of the North, yes. Queen of the North.
Yes.
And then as she's walking down the aisle with that, oh my God, made my heart flutter. The
dress, the crown.
The crown with the star, with the Stark sigil.
But the dress with the leaves from the Godswood tree on the inside. I was like, damn. Oh,
that was costume porn. That was some serious costume porn.
And the
porn.
Fact that she stood up right away and said, no, the North is going to be its own.
Yeah, that I think that's great for her and it's great for the North. However, it does propose some logical issues.
Like what?
For the show. What's to say that Dorne just says, yeah, you know how Winterfell is, that whole North is separate? Yeah, we had to.
Well, that's where I get confused. What are the leftover six kingdoms? Because is the Vale one of the kingdoms? Is River Run one of the kingdoms? Or are those part of the North? I don't understand.
No, those are all separate kingdoms. Like they're all...
Okay, so we have King's Landing.
Well, I don't want to go over all of them.
I never thought Dorne was part of it, is what I'm trying to say.
Dorne is. Oh, yeah, Dorne is.
But all the other like islands and areas are not?
No,
like
they
Marine
are.
Like Marine and...
Oh, no, that's not.
Slaver's Bay, all that kind of stuff is not. So that's why I was confused. Okay. I felt like Dorne was part of that area.
Yeah, no.
But the Iron Islands are...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. They are.
Listen, the North doesn't need anybody. They really don't.
No, they don't.
It's not like they get goods. It's not like they have security. We've never seen the North get, like, you know, help from the South. Mm-hmm. The North is very self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. They've obviously gone through a lot. And once again, nobody is ever going to understand the stuff that they've gone through.
I think they're all natural endings for each character. Except for Bran. I think Bran is the one that was kind of stuffed down our throats a little bit. Other than that, they're all natural endings.
How do you feel about the Ironborn saying okay?
I feel good about it. I feel good about it.
You want to know why I feel good about it?
Why?
Because Theon saved Bran's life. Quote unquote saved. Bran knew what was going to happen. But let's be real. I feel like Yara knows, hey, Bran loved my brother. So he's going to be nice to us.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I like it.
Because Yara was kind of, I don't know.
Well, no, she was a little
persnickety.
And she should be. She's the one who pledged her allegiance and her fealty to Daenerys. And she isn't aware necessarily of all the things that went down. I'm sure she's made aware that Daenerys, again, burned down the entire city. But that's something that the Ironborn, I don't think she cares. You take what you get for the Ironborn. That's how you do it. And that's what Dany did. So I can see why Yara's like, no, man, like that was my queen. I'm the one who helped this. This is my promise. Mm-hmm. And now all of a sudden we're gonna change it. We're going to let Jon Snow go kill her because that's what he wanted to do. I'm in on that.
Asked Tyrion, you know, like, did I do the right thing?
Oh, and see, now this is where I kind of want to get into this conversation.
Let's do it. Let's just jump into it. We missed a Stark, didn't we? Or are we good?
No, we're good.
We got them all.
Yeah, we got them all. Okay.
Oh. John.
The more that I've thought about this whole thing with John and Dany, the more and more I've liked it. The more and more I've come to really appreciate it. Now, I think the episode has two main pillars you have to accept.
Okay, I'm ready.
In order for you to think that this is a good episode. If you don't accept these two pillars, it ain't gonna work for you. First, you have to accept the fact that John and Dany are in love. And you have to buy into that. If you don't buy into it, the betrayal and all of that stuff that goes on in the middle of it isn't going to be as powerful as it was.
Agreed.
It wasn't as powerful as it was when he betrayed Ygritte and ran off.
Oh, I still want to cry about that.
I know, right? The second main pillar is you have to accept the fact that Dany turned. And she did it because either she went mad or because that was what she felt was best.
See, the difficult part of that is that this season, in my perspective, was not, in my opinion, was not from Dany's perspective. And for so long, like Tyrion said, you know, she's been burning all these people before. She's been freeing all these people, but burning a lot of people in the meantime, and we've cheered her on. We, meaning the collective audience, we have sat there and said, way to go, Daenerys. Mm-hmm. Yeah, string those masters up and crucify them. Yeah, Daenerys, high five. Burn all those calls. Yeah, Daenerys, way to go. And then suddenly in this season, we are taken out of her perspective, plopped into John's perspective, basically the Stark's perspective. Thank you, Samwell, for letting us know how you feel about the situation. And mm-hmm. the moment that Sam reminded us, oh, by the way, she killed my dad and my brother. We were cool with it when we were sitting in Daenerys' perspective. None of us shed a tear, felt bad, said, oh man, Christmas is going to be tough at Sam's house this year. We didn't feel any of that for Sam when it happened because we were sitting in Daenerys' corner. Right, we were there right. with her. And then this season, they put us in the Stark's corner. And until this episode, and I wish we spent a little bit more time in her corner. As soon as, when she was doing that speech, being like, you guys did everything you promised. But then as soon as she said, oh, we're going to get everyone from Winterfell to Dorne. I was like, oop, not in her corner. Not right. in her corner. I was in her corner in that conversation with Jon.
I was too.
And I wish that I had a little bit more time in her corner this episode. Because last episode, obviously, we weren't. She burned everybody.
Right.
There was no way. But I wish that in this episode, it was really, really like, remember that you all have loved Daenerys for 7 seasons.
Right.
And I got it for 2 minutes.
And I think that's where this season kind of went a little wrong. We got 6 episodes. I think we could have gone with another episode. Mm-hmm. I think we could have got another one.
Agreed.
You know, we got 8 hours or so of actual storytelling, but I feel like if we got a 9th or 10th hour of storytelling, it would have been more complete. We could have spent more time with Daenerys the way that we wanted to spend time with her, so that when we finally get that moment that Jon has with her, we're like, wait, is that the right thing to do? We are in the mm-hmm. same position that Jon is in as he's doing it. Is this the right thing?
And I think, you know, we actually had someone on our Facebook Live bring this up, and I was going to say this too. I think that that is why, you know, I think the directors, the writers, they knew in this episode we were going to be back in her corner while she has that conversation with Jon. And I think that that is why we took that walk with Tyrion, where he walked by
Absolutely.
Dead children. Like Absolutely. He walked by that dead child on the ground, then he walked by the child. I loved how they had that child with the one that Arya was desperately trying to save.
With the horse.
With the wooden horse.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So to remind us, yes, you're going to be in Daenerys' corner in a little bit, but we just want to remind you the terrible things that she did last episode.
That thing with Tyrion walking throughout all King's Landing, walking past the small council table, walking over the destroyed map of Westeros that... Cersei had painted. It was excellent in seeing everything that was and everything that was going to be and how he had played a role in it, and topping it off with a really emotional beat of him seeing his sister and his brother, which shows you, to me, in my opinion, that first of all, it was great because it's really confirmed that they're dead. Great. But seeing the hand pop out mm-hmm. and seeing Peter Dinklage's reaction, how he sold
so good.
That moment. And I don't think that moment was, oh my God, you know, my siblings are dead. It's just, I can't believe we're here. Like, maybe it's more for Jaime than it is for Cersei.
Yeah. Well, and I also think, too, that he probably had that little glimmer of hope. That little glimmer of hope that if he made it down and he saw that the entrance to the cave was intact, that maybe they got out.
Right. And seeing them, the plan that he tried to administer didn't work. And yes, she tried to murder him. Yes, she was not good to Tyrion, but Jaime was. And even though there's a really severely bad news, complicated familial relationship there, they're still family.
Yes.
And it still doesn't make it easy on him. It's still that, oh my God, I tried so hard to get them to go mm-hmm. and be safe, and they're dead right here. And Jaime is in Cersei's arms. It just, It's a fitting end. Mm-hmm. It shows you, in my opinion at least, that if you didn't think that ending for Cersei was rough, and you didn't think that it wasn't a fitting end for her, I think this here shows you that it was, in mm-hmm. my opinion.
You know, I spoke with you about this while we were watching it, that I'd seen somewhere that Tyrion had the most screen time out right. of all the characters, out of all of Game of Thrones. And someone had once brought up the point that maybe he's actually the protagonist out of all of Game of Thrones. Not Jon Snow, not Daenerys, but actually Tyrion, mm-hmm. Because he's had the most screen time. And I thought it was interesting to have that walk with him through King's Landing, have him even freak out when he wasn't mentioned in the book. Like, are you kidding me? There's none of me in this book. So I thought it was really interesting. I don't necessarily know how I feel about him being the protagonist, but I did find it really aware of them to have sure. him take us through the Red Keep, which he'd been in so many times. Like, this was his home for so long.
And he knew his way around the city to get there. Like, yes. he didn't need a guide. He didn't need
anybody from
John.
He wasn't lost like Arya.
Right.
Yes.
He knew what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And it was sad. It was sad to see him go through that whole thing, and it was tense. There was a bit of this whole first half of the episode was just full of real tension, whether it is Tyrion walking through the city or Jon approaching Grey Worm and being like, hey, no, what are we doing here?
And then he just slits their throats yeah. anyway.
And I love Davos saying, listen, they're already kneeling. How can you have them go down any further? They mm-hmm. can't. Mm-hmm. And having that order of, again, showing you that Dany is not all there, yep. that anybody that supported Cersei has to die. And it's great to have that, because when we do get that moment between she and Jon, you can almost see Jon turning a little bit with us as an audience. Or maybe not everybody bought into it. That's fine. But you're seeing Jon buy into it a little bit until she says the thing that people don't have a choice. And that's when it comes back to Tyrion saying, you wouldn't have done it, and you know it, you just don't want to betray her, and what about your sisters? Mm-hmm. And this is the thing, I think this is the thing that works best for this whole episode. The whole episode is anchored by this decision Jon has to make. And it's brought on because of a real antagonist. You know, good villains, right? Any good villain believes that what they say and what they are doing, they are convinced 100% that they are right. The best antagonist, though, has a point of view that is neither wholly wrong nor is it wholly right. You may not agree with them and you may not agree with their methods, but you kind of see their point of view about what they're doing. Now, think about like Thanos in the Avengers.
Okay.
He's trying to save the universe. His method is a little crazy, but he's doing it because he believes it's the right thing to do.
Agreed.
He saw his world fall apart because of overpopulation. So he's killing half the population of the universe. You don't agree, but you see where he's coming from. Or think of the Joker in The Dark Knight, chaos, right? Or the warmonger in Black Panther, how it's like you have all this technology and stuff, and you're not giving it to the world, and you're just letting everybody die. And you don't agree with how his methods are, but you see where he's coming from. And you see Dany. Dany is doing the same. She wants to create a better world, and she truly believes.
And we truly believed for 7 seasons right. that she was going to do it.
It's playing into that, and that's mm-hmm. bubbling that up. The greatest antagonists, though, in my opinion, are the kind of people that make their protagonists do something that they would normally never do.
Like what?
Like the greatest antagonists make their protagonists' strengths their weaknesses. And that is exactly what Dany has done to both Jon and Tyrion. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people said that like Tyrion was like making all these mistakes and he was being kind of dumb and he's been kind of sidelined for the past 2 seasons. But what you see is that Dany's kind of done that to him. He admits to Jon that he loved Dany. Maybe not the same way that Jon loved her. But in a way that kind of blinded him. She took what his strength was and made it his weakness. That faith, that savvy political mind, and made it his weakness. And the same thing for John. She makes John break his oath. She makes John put a knife in her belly. Something that he would never do. He would never be a part of burning down cities. And he says, did you see the children? Did you see the people?
He was really giving her his best. Because here she is saying, let's rule it together. And for that moment, you could see him say, like, I love this woman. And maybe if we're husband and wife, maybe if we do decide to be together, even though I think it's kind of weird because she's my aunt,
right,
maybe I can talk some sense into her. So if I remind her, hey, did you see the kids you burnt? And she feels bad about it, and she decides to give Tyrion mercy and these soldiers mercy, maybe I can help her out, like how I've taught Blake how to recycle. Okay, maybe as her partner, I can help show her a few things and how to be a better person. And then she says, no.
Right.
Nope.
And I feel like when he reaffirms to her, you'll be my queen and you always will be, I think it was like a coda to what Dany was in his mind, as opposed to what she had really become. Mm-hmm. She'd become the person that tells people what is right and wrong. She had become the person that no matter what, she was forcing people to bend their will to her, regardless of whether it was morally right or immoral. That was whatever she decided was the truth, was the truth. And that is not what John is about. The truth is the truth, and that is it. And John is forced to choose. He's forced to choose his family because of his sisters or his queen. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to earlier in the season when Arya says, you're a Stark. Don't forget that.
Ugh.
And that is why this works so well. It works so well because he becomes a queen slayer.
Yes, I think it would have worked better had we had more episodes to really flesh this out. I think that it's that perspective shift that has been jarring for a lot of the masses. It's right. That perspective shift of, had we seen season 8 from Daenerys' perspective, we would have been cheering right now. You
yes.
did it! You did it! You got King's Landing! Everybody, look at this. This is awesome. You got the Iron Throne. You got the boy. This is awesome. We would have been in a completely different mindset. But because she was up in the air, I mean, she did know that she burned the kids. That's what stinks. Like, we got to have that land, you know, the ground viewpoint from Jon, from Davos, from Tyrion. And we got to see the innocence that was killed.
Yep.
Because of this.
Absolutely.
I just think if we had more episodes to have this immense switch of perspective, that it would have been good for us all.
I would agree. Again, that was the thing that you have to buy. You have to buy into the fact that Dany changed, and she changed wholeheartedly. And you had to buy into the fact that it didn't matter.
I don't think she changed. I think that the final straw was Missandei. I think that the final straw was King's Landing. But Dany has been telling us, I mean, that speech that she gives to the Dothraki, to the Unsullied, help me break the wheel. Let's kill these men in their iron suits or whatever. Let's burn down their stone houses. She said that over all of these previous seasons.
Right.
And that's what they did. So it's not like she changed, but our perspective in the show has changed.
Right. And I think the perspective here is important because looking at it from John's perspective, he has that great conversation with Tyrion. Mm-hmm. You know, love is the death of duty.
Yeah.
And that's true. It rings true for John.
But then she went over the line episode.
First, it rings true because of Ygritte. He fell in love with Ygritte, mm-hmm. and he neglected his duty with the Night's Watch. But then he also turns around and says, duty is the death of love. And that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
It was John's duty to do what he did.
To the innocent.
To do what he did. It was not going to end. It simply wasn't going to end. And what makes it the best part of it all is that he just doesn't know if he did the right thing. He doesn't know. Because would it have been nice to see what Daenerys could have done? Would it have been nice to see if she really was the kind of person that we were promised to begin with? Is there an opportunity for someone to tell her, maybe this isn't right. Maybe this is not the way we should be going about things. Right? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real tragedy of Daenerys, I think. Because she is the person who rallied all of these people.
Yes.
She brought out the best in all of the people that she surrounded herself with.
Agreed.
And it was at this point when she brought out the best in Jon, she brought out the best, well, kind of, in Tyrion, but she brought out the best in Jorah, Missandei, Grey Worm, all of these. She liberated all these people, and it comes down to the fact that at their best, they couldn't be with Dany the way that she was.
Because she's the worst.
Because she she was not the way.
No.
You know? So I don't know. I think thematically, the idea of the future and these are the children of people of rebellion. And they can choose their own lives now. Mm-hmm. They had a rebellion. They did it. And you had so much circling, so much symmetry with the first season, so much this season.
Agreed.
And the ending of this season proves that you don't have to keep making the same mistakes.
You can break the wheel.
You can break the wheel. And maybe by killing Dany, they do break the wheel.
I don't know. They built King's Landing back up real nicely. with Tyrion fixing all his chairs. I was like, who dusted off all these chairs?
Wait, hey, how do you feel about that time jump, by the way? I know we're getting long here. We're at like an hour five. So
we'll wrap it up.
How do you feel about the time jump? Are you in agreement with that time jump, or are you not in agreement with that time jump?
I'm down with it because, once again, George R. R. Martin loves like Lord of the Rings. We all know this. So to me, this was kind of like the epilogue of Lord of the Rings, when we got to see Sam in that movie get married. Like, just jolly moments and have his kids. So I liked being able to see Tyrion being able to do good in the world, being able to see the small council minus Bronn. No, I was down with the time jump. I was interested that they stayed in King's Landing. I don't know who built it back up. I don't know where all these furniture makers came from. I don't know where the cleaning crew came from. Obviously, Maid Pro was burnt.
Maid Pro.
So, like, that's what, you know, when they burn everything down, I was like, oh, okay, so are they going to find a new home? Because this one's kind of stinky. Like, it's rotting flesh.
Yeah.
It's a little stinky and broken. So.
So
how do I feel about the time jump? I was fine with it. I do have my logical questions of who cleaned up the mess.
Right.
Where's the demo crew?
We're picking some nits here, though.
Yeah, but
I think those are just overall, that's one I'm of the things that you it. Just have to accept of that world.
Agreed.
I loved the coloring difference between the two times. When Dany is there, it's this blue hue, dystopian feel with the ash coming down, and the whole world just feels like it's a funeral. It feels dead.
You know what's dead, though? My dream. Who run the world?
Girls. Well, you know, Sansa is a queen of the North. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big friggin' deal. And Yara's, you know, queen of the Iron Islands. I mean,
is she?
Well, she's in charge of the Iron Islands.
Is she a queen?
Well,
there were a lot of bros in that, like, area choosing a king.
Yeah, I would.
And that's
agree
why
with
when
you.
Sansa was looking around, I was happy that she was the last one to say "I," because I was ready for her to be like, "Think it's time that we do have a queen. Y'all messed this up, boys."
Yes.
But a girl just messed it up too, I guess. And Cersei kind of messed it up too. I don't know. That was one thing that I really wanted, was some more female power. And yes, I'm happy that Sansa has the North. I agree. But I don't know. Maybe they should have had a princess of Dorne. Just give us a little bit more equal opportunity instead of more just white old men.
I think there's
that's what it was.
There's an opportunity here.
Who were those guys?
Well, you had the people from the Vale.
Who was sitting next to Bronn? We had Sam. We had Bronn. Then we had some random guy.
And then we had all of a sudden hot Robin Arryn.
Like, I would not say hot. We know what he did. But yes, he's grown up.
He's grown up, and he's become a good looking man.
And I don't, okay, you know, you and I have very different tastes. And then the guy next to him.
Yeah, that's part of the Vale.
Yeah.
That's like, Royce, whatever his
name
is.
And then who was on his other side?
I don't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's what
but
I'm talking about.
I think there is an argument to be here to be made that it's more of
Tobias
the same.
Tobias was on the other side.
Oh, yeah, okay, Tobias
Menzies.
By the way,
Edmure.
Oh, my God. Can I just.
All the snaps for Edmure Tully.
Hold
trying.
On. Just
trying.
Hold on, Tobias.
To be king, guys.
Oh, yeah. Love love me some Tobias. You know, I'm so
A
glad
for
he was
effort,
back.
Edmure. A yeah. for effort. I almost feel like he could have thrown in a Catelyn Stark bit, seeing as how a third of the voting committee were Catelyn Stark's kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like it could have been like, you know, in honor of my sister, who fought to make all of this possible and make the realm safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could have thrown in a little Catelyn Stark, pulled at the Stark kids' heartstrings, but instead, he was selfish, and his niece had to tell him to sit down.
That was great. That was amazing. And that was a great part of this episode, too, because as serious it was, and killing and stabbing, and Drogon with nudging Daenerys after she's dead. Like, oh my God, it's just so much tears when that happened. There's some great humor in it here, too, when Edmure stands up and says, like, sit down. Just sit down. We're all set with you. And he moves and he bangs his sword and he's just kind of bumbling, like, really like that. And even the bit with Bronn, I know you're not a big Bronn guy.
No. Nope.
But he's like, what are you the master of grammar now, too? Like, what are we talking about? that was some really good stuff. That was some really good stuff.
Daenerys never even sat on the throne.
No, she touched it, which was great. And speaking of her touching it, oh.
We're flying all over the place.
I know. When Jon comes out of the black in the background, it reminded me of Drogon coming out of the black in the background when he killed Varys. And it just felt like it's an executioner coming.
Yes.
You know, it just felt like that
Death
to me.
Death coming in the dark. I like
right.
it.
It was really cool. I liked that. Drogon nudging Daenerys, and then how do you feel about him burning the throne the way that he did?
Great, good job, Drogon. Get that. You know, it's like Daniel Tiger says, like, when you're angry, you got to stomp three times. Once again, don't understand the logic, Daniel Tiger writers, but you know, it's better than hitting people or biting people when you're a toddler. So Drogon just needed to get out his angst in some way, shape, or
why
form.
Why do you think he didn't kill Jon?
Because he's a Targaryen.
Is that what you think it is?
I do.
I've toyed with this. I think you're right. Because we have that great, beautiful scene. This is another great imagery, mm-hmm. too, of Drogon coming up out of the ash, mm-hmm. and seeing Jon in this big, wide shot of Jon standing, yes. this minuscule little figure in front of Drogon, and Drogon just lets him pass. We have that great imagery, and I just feel like I've thought about this. I just wonder if Drogon just knew. He just knew that something was wrong with Daenerys.
Oh, wow. See, because do you think he knew that Jon killed her? Or is he just
That's
like,
the way that I took it.
Oh, okay.
I took it like he knew that Jon killed her because he gave him that look like he was going
to
turn him to Shiska Jon. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
But then he blows up the throne. And I feel like that's by design. That's by design because the dragon knows the throne is what drove his mother mm-hmm. crazy, or drove her to the point where she needed to
mm-hmm.
die.
Mm-hmm. That was her goal, and if she can't have it, nobody can have it.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I like that the dragon has that understanding. Whether or not they understand as much as humans do, I don't know, but
yeah.
I feel like they're pretty intuitive,
mm-hmm.
And they have been. A really nice bit.
Agreed.
How do you, and this is going a little bit further too, but how do you feel about Sam bringing in a Song of Ice and Fire?
I love it.
Yeah.
Once again, just a nod to Tolkien, having someone write it. Sam, of course, has always been into books. You know, Tyrion even talked about how stories are so important, and of course we know that the stories are important to be passed down. So I liked it. I was down.
Last question I have for you. Is this the ending George Martin wants? Is this the one that he's going to be writing?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Why not? Though you know that he talked about the ending with D&D.
Yeah.
And they figured it out together. Like, planned it.
I think that maybe like core pillars of this will be the same, but the feels, the hashtag, all the feels that we may or may not have right now, I think are going to be very different. I think that We are not meant to be as confused or conflicted about Bran in particular. And I think that we're going to feel a bit more solid in how we feel about Daenerys. So I think that the pillars of where people end up probably are right.
That's what I'm getting at, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But I don't think that the overall, like, how you feel leaving this is how we are going to feel after we finish George R. R. Martin's books.
All right, we are now, I think, about at an hour 15-ish.
We're going to tell you, after the music, by the way, we're going to tell you why we almost didn't get to watch last night's episode.
Oh, yes, that sounds great.
Little post-music thing.
Yes, so there is no throne rankings, because we already know who's on the throne, and there is no three-eyed raven anymore, unless you would like to do an honorary three-eyed raven.
Well, okay, so what's happening next? They're making a prequel, or what's going on?
Well, there are a number of prequels in the works. Now, Brian Cogman, who was the writer of the... A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, that episode, he had one in the works as well, but it has since been canceled. They're not doing that. So the one that is right now being made as we speak is by Jane Goldman. And that prequel takes place tens of thousands of years before this story. And it's supposedly being called The Long Night. So...
Like Children of the Forest?
Children of the Forest, First Men.
Okay.
That maybe the beginning of the Targaryen
rule. More giants, maybe.
It's all possible.
Direwolves.
There's not a lot known about it except for Naomi Watts is starring in it, and she's a woman with a secret.
Maybe the North Remembers will pick back up for that show.
Oh, you never know. You never know. So again, final thoughts for this episode. I just feel like this was a good episode. It was competent. It didn't blow my doors off. It didn't move me the way that I wanted it to move me. Like, I was moved by Lost. I was moved by The Leftovers. It made me think about stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, in a big way. Both of those shows. I was moved by the Halt and Catch Fire finale. Like, genuinely moved by it. I didn't want to finish it. I'm ready to let go of this story. I'm ready to let go of it the way that it was told. I'm happy with it the way that it was told. The finale does not ruin anything for me. People that are saying that this is the worst episode of, you know, Game of Thrones ever, I think is a little hyperbolic.
There were a couple bad ones that I would gladly never watch again.
Right. So did the finale move you, and where would you place this, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I can't fathom that right now. Did it move me? Yeah, in a finality kind of way. Like, all right, okay, I know what happened. And as I said, I feel like most of the characters, the writing was on the wall, that when you look back, and Blake and I have really been doing like a lot of rewatches, even in season, we've been watching previous season episodes just to kind of like remind ourselves. And it's been really quite an awesome experience. For those of you who have the time now that you have your Sunday nights free, we do recommend that you go back and you start from the beginning, because so much of what ended up in this finale has been laid down for us over the past 7 seasons.
Sure.
So it was really interesting to pick out these bits and to see this and to hear things said again. Yeah, I mean, I really wish that they had had a few more episodes, as I said, but to me, I enjoyed this episode a lot. I'm really, really excited to read the books. And I think that for most series finales, you are going to have people who love it or people who hate it.
Right.
And that's how it was for Lost. That's how, even I think about Harry Potter, the final movies. I mean, most people who read the books, they already knew how it was going to end, but some people loved or hated the finale movies. I don't think you can make everyone feel happy. You can't be in everyone's mind and souls, and you don't know how people, what they were doing the day before, or which characters they were rooting for in their deepest core, or what previous things even happened in their own lives that made them feel things in this episode that they didn't feel. So there's no way that you can please everybody with a series finale.
I think there are exceptional finales, ones that are very close to perfect. You may say 6 Feet Under. You may say Breaking Bad. You may even say The Leftovers. Yes. I mean, those are pretty perfect for the most part, but not everybody was totally happy with it.
Agreed.
So I think when you have a show this big and you have the Game of Thrones derangement syndrome that we do, and it's so sprawling, there's just no way you can make everybody happy.
You know, it reminds me, I was thinking about this a lot today, it reminds me of when you were in a relationship with someone for a long time. Because this has now been how many years?
Just the show or the story overall?
The show.
The show was 2011, so 8 years.
So we've been in a relationship for 8 years. And if you've ever been in a long-term relationship, you go through this amazing honeymoon phase. And then you go through a phase where you're like, oh, they smack their teeth. This is kind of annoying. Am I going to take a little break with you? I don't know. Maybe not. And then you go through a second honeymoon phase and things are really good. And then you're just kind of cruising. And by that seven-year mark, you start to get a seven-year itch. And you think, okay, do I really want to continue with this? This bothers me, and this still bothers me. And by year eight, you're either bothered by those things, and you can't shake it. You either are bothered by the way that these people are writing these characters, and you are not going to shake it, okay? You are mad at, you're stuck in your ways. Or you sit there and you say, okay, you know what? The good outweighs the bad, mm-hmm. and I'm going to stick with this person. Right. So that's how I feel about Game of Thrones, that this has been a really long relationship. I think about our marriage that mm-hmm. way. You know, you have hills and valleys. We've had a relationship with this show, and you can't be in your honeymoon phase forever, but you have to sit there and say, when I look back on this show, I'm going to say, that was a really good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I feel.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think all the vitriol that's happening right now, I think people are going to look back on this episode as time goes by, and they're going to be a little bit more pleased with it. They're going to be a little bit more pleased. They're going to say, wait, that wasn't all that bad.
They need to let the fire die down, though.
Yeah, the fire is it's burning, and it should. It should burn. That's the beautiful part of art, right? Like, that's the beautiful part of television. Everybody's got an opinion, and just because we think it's positive, like the episode, doesn't mean it has to be positive for everybody else. People that can hate it do, and that's fine. Like, that's great, man.
We're all just going to go read the books. Let's be real.
We're
all pledged together that we are going to read these books and come on back here on the
you
North
know what?
Remembers.
Maybe.
Will we have a book club?
Maybe we'll have a book club.
You guys,
maybe
would
when
you
the
be
new
down?
Book, with it, maybe with the new book, we'll do a Patreon thing where we have a book club, where we'll have Blake's book club again, but for Game of Thrones.
Okay. Well, why would it just be you and not me?
Well, you know what I mean. Because we have Blake's book club for Outlander, but you can read. I can read. So yeah. All right. What do you say we close this bad boy out?
We shall.
And we'll get to all the listener thoughts mm-hmm. for the next episode. All right. Let's do it.
We want to thank you guys so much for allowing us to be a part of your season 8 experience. We know that we came kind of out of nowhere. We hadn't been podcasting about Game of Thrones all this time.
Yep.
And we truly appreciate that you've taken the time to talk and laugh and cry and rant and rave about this show with us. We've loved it for so long, and just podcasting about it didn't work out in our time schedule until now. And we're so thankful that we did it, but also that we got to share this with you. So thank you.
Thank you very much for being a part of it. Thank you for giving us all of your thoughts. And continue to do so for this episode. I know you got plenty. Everybody, I was reading some of the comments here on our forum. We are doing this on Facebook Live, as I said earlier, as well. People are all aflame over this episode. Good, bad, ugly.
Flame, good word.
I think it's appropriate. And so you have thoughts, send them to us. Send them to us in a good, coherent message or in a voicemail or a Facebook message, whatever. We'll all talk about it together.
Love.
And make sure you go to marianblake.com. Check out all the podcasts while you're there, including Outlander Cast, This Is Us 2, Parent Cast, the Leftovers podcast, our soon-to-be Rise Up podcast
Rise
about Hamilton, with Mary podcast. I mean, we got more podcasts we can count on two hands.
We do.
And we're only going to have some more coming. So I'm really excited about that. We'll see what happens.
Well, stay tuned. Make sure that you do like the Mary and Blake Facebook page, as that is where we post most of our updates. It honestly is the best way to get in touch with us, is in quickly with us right there on Facebook. So once again, thank you.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, regardless of however you feel about this season of Game of Thrones, it's been an honor to talk about it with all of you.
Agreed.
And it's been an honor to talk about it with my wife and podcasting Aww. About it and having everybody engage with this community that we've created all together. It's been fun, man. It's been fun. Yes.
And my shirt arrived. For those of you who are not on Facebook Live, you need to go to our Facebook page just so you can see, because I'm wearing it in our Facebook Live. Those of you who can see it, come show your love, because it arrived the day before the finale. It's not the nicest quality shirt, but I do love it. So, as we said,
it's like wearing a towel.
We're going to let you know about our little story after this music finishes. And I think that finishing is happening now, right, Blake?
I think we're pretty close. But okay. Either way, I'm a man. I'm the man.
My name's so Mary.
My name's Blake.
And the North remembers, but stay tuned. Okay, guys, so here we go. I'm setting up the scope for you. Rhode Island is the smallest state in the entire country of the United States of America, and we have been voted as having the worst pollen and allergies in the entire nation.
Yes.
Great, because I have allergies. Blake doesn't. He's the next step in human evolution.
Damn straight.
But our children sadly have inherited my terrible allergies, and our little lass has been having like a really good phlegmy cough.
Well, first, our son was whining.
Oh,
the whole beginning of the episode.
My throat hurts. I'm lonely. Like, what are you watching? Is that a dragon? Do I hear a dragon?
I love dragons.
So we were like, go to sleep.
Oh my God, shut up.
Go to sleep. And we'd be pausing the episode. You're okay, buddy. You're not lonely. So we actually chose. We have an amazing basement that's nice and dark, which is great, especially for Squinterfell.
I created a beautiful theater in our basement next to our studio.
But our son was saying he was lonely. So we were watching it on our smaller TV upstairs so that he could hear us, hear the television, feel like he's not alone. And we're like, it's okay, buddy. Just go to sleep. You're okay. Checked in him a couple of times. Got him some water. For those of you who are parents, you know the drill. It's like, I need water. I need to go to the bathroom. I want a hug. I want a kiss. We're like, okay, we've done it all. Please. So he finally goes to sleep. And all the while, our little lass, who's three, has been having a really gross, phlegmy cough. And it started to perk up. And about 20 minutes into the episode, my mom radar just went off. Blake will attest to this.
Oh yeah, she's got some great mom radar.
Listen, I know when my kids are having some issues, and I just heard the cough change. She was having a bad cough like every 2 or 3 minutes. And so I went into her room, and she was sleeping through this coughing fit, which was already kind of scary.
Yep.
So I'm picking her up, trying to keep her propped up. She's waking up just a little bit. We bring her on out, and poor Blake has now pressed pause on the episode.
I must have paused the episode maybe 15 times.
And it was only 20 minutes in.
I was so mad. I was seething. I was like, these goddamn kids, like, ruining my Game of Thrones time. You know, like,
yes.
Go to bed.
It was
bad.
And yet, like, you know, we're parents and, like, this is part of the gig. But I'm laughing because I'm like, we are going to have to watch this again, like, uninterrupted tomorrow before we podcast, because we are not getting the feelings that you're supposed to be getting. We're not getting the emotional weight. And, like, so, like, Tyrion would be walking by and it'd be like, charred little girl, mommy, I'm lonely. Pause. It's okay, honey. It's okay. Play. Okay. Then Tyrion walking by that burned guy. Mommy, I need water. Well, so does this guy. So does this guy, honey.
He needs some hydration too. Yeah.
So,
Mommy, I gotta pee.
So she's coughing, and I'm holding her, and I'm holding her upright, and the coughing just isn't stopping, and her breath is really shallow. And we've never had to bring our lass to the doctors for like RSV or anything kind of like that. But I got nervous because I know people who their kids have coughing fits,
mm-hmm.
and they do need to go and kind of get an inhaler and health. Now, this is our lass who's brought us to the ER, the children's ER, every single season except the winter. This past winter, like,
we made it through.
Yeah, she was on an ER streak, and we've joked about it with friends. We're like, finally, we made it one season without her going to the ER. And I'm sitting there going, ugh. Here we go. We're gonna do it for the spring, and I'm nervous, and we're calling the emergency doctor on call, and I'm just like rubbing her back, being like, just take deep breaths, baby. Blake, press play. Press play. Okay. Oh, up. Okay. She's covering up. Press pause. Okay. Here we go. Get it on out. So I'm like hitting her back, you know, like tapping it, and
she starts puking.
She's puking, guys.
She's puke everywhere. We're like, what do we do? We had to pause the freaking episode again. We didn't finish the damn episode till like 11:30.
No, not even a lie, guys. Not even a lie. And then we just gave up after she had vomited up all of the gross phlegm, the poor thing.
We were just like, all right, just cough. You're fine.
She was like, can I watch it? And we were like, sure. Just sit and watch it. At least you'll be upright. Poor thing. Like, and I knew once I covered her eyes for John killing Daenerys.
Yes.
Because you could see that coming. By the way, he had like a Raphael Ninja Turtle knife.
I know. It wasn't like a...
No, it wasn't a long dagger. Claw. It was Raphael's...
You know, it was called a sai.
That's what it is.
Yeah. I got you.
I used to watch Ninja Turtles a lot growing up.
Yes, you did.
So it kills her with a Raphael knife, sai. And that's the only time we like covered her eyes. Because then after that, it was fine. And she just chilled. But yep, she kept us up all night. Especially Blake.
Man.
And we almost didn't get to watch that episode. So...
Oh, man.
That's our story. But we did not go to the ER. We took her to the doctors today.
I wanted her to go to bed.
Oh, my dad's
so
watching. Hey, Dad.
Oh, hi. Hi. just in time to tell us, you know, have us tell us a story about how bad our children are.
No.
But yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Go to bed, kids.
That
go
was
to bed.
The story. That was the story. So we made it. We watched the episode. We rewatched the episode. We were able to, of course, do this podcast because yep. That was the other fear was like, if we don't watch the episode and we don't know how we feel about it, how can we podcast? So that's the scoop, man. Parenting. It's hard.
Hashtag parent life.
That's it. But they're all not healthy, but they're doing better.
They're living.
They're
and
more
they're
medicated.
Breathing.
Yeah, they're more medicated. I give them some stronger stuff tonight to like help them sleep. And yeah, we're all doing well.
All right, let's close this up.
Okay. Well, that is the end.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
So much.
We'll
Take
see
care.
You. We'll see you for the listener feedback episode.
Yes, we will.
All right, let's do it.